Time to talk Browns football. Craig, are you ready for that? Are you ready to talk
Let's do it.
Okay, here's my theme for today. This would be my Big Dan. And Cam.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245.
That's a little guy compared to these guys.
Exactly. You know, the world has gotten bigger. Scott Pedrick joins us from the Chronicle Telegram. Are these men just getting bigger, or did we just happen to get two big guys yesterday?
It's a combination of both. You know, the linemen are getting bigger, bigger and faster and stronger. But the Browns went out of their way to get two of the biggest ones, especially that Danny Shelton. He's a load at 339 pounds. His legs and bottom half are just huge.
So let's talk, I guess, you know, the quarterback talk was going on and off or whatever. Obviously, they went 1-2 at the draft. When that was taking place, what was your thought about what the Browns might be doing when it came to their turn?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I thought they would make a play to go up and get Mariota. And, you know, Ray Farmer afterwards said that they did not discuss a trade or never offered a trade to the Titans. That might just be semantics. But in the end, Tennessee decided they wanted to keep Mariota, and they never got an offer that was good enough for him. So the Browns just kind of played it safe, conservative. They went against what Ray Farmer did in his first draft as GM last year when he made three trades in the first round. This time he held to his guns, stuck to, you know, kept his places, stayed at number 12 or 19 and picked what he thought were the two best players and kind of addressed areas of, they weren't, you know, it wasn't flashy. You know, the nose tackle's never a flashy pick. He's designed to get in there and help the run defense, which needs it because it was last in the league last year. And then with the second pick, he went offensive line and Cameron Irving. You know, I don't love the pick because I'm not sure there's a huge need there. But Ray Farmer said they're trying to bolster a strength. The offensive line's a strength. They try to make it better. So I don't know if you can argue with that philosophy.
You mentioned about flashy. Our first-round picks go up in a flash sometimes. So, you know, these are ones that kind of – you plant them, you get them there. If you look them down our offensive line now, we have, like, pretty high draft picks in there, which is what you hope to do over time, right?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You know, if let's say that Irving starts at right guard, you'd have three second-round picks and two first-round picks starting on your offensive line. So it better be a strength of the team, and it better dominate. My thought is you don't need five blue-chip offensive linemen. You know, I think you can get away with three blue-chippers and fill in the other two spots with guys later in the draft or you find veterans. I think the Browns, with a team that has, you know, multiple holes across the roster, I don't know if I would invest in another high pick in an offensive lineman. But Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine want to be blue-collar in the trenches kind of team. That's where they think they have a chance to be better than their opponents. So they tried to strengthen both sides of the ball.
But I look at last year's number one picks kind of as a reset this year. You know, we have Johnny Manziel, which it's sort of like restarting. Also with our cornerback, you know, issues there that were sort of discussed. So maybe they were not mature enough. Now they've maybe could help in a way that we hoped them last year would have helped.
Well, I mean, obviously that's what the Browns are hoping. You know, particularly with Manziel, I don't think they're counting on Johnny Manziel to be a starting quarterback at any time in his future. I'm sure they're hoping that he can mature into that. They'll give him the opportunity to compete with the veteran Josh McCown, who they signed in free agency. And my guess is they'll draft another quarterback over the weekend. It could happen today as early as the second or third round. You know, the Garrett Graysons or the Brett Hundleys or the Bryce Petties. And then, you know, Justin Gilbert, disappointing rookie year. You know, the number eight pick you expect to be a starter. Didn't really play very much, barely contributed. Personal issues, Mike Pettine has called it. So the Browns are hoping that something, you know, a light goes on for him and he's able to, you know, come out of nowhere, I guess, and be a contributor this year, but they're not counting on it either because they went in free agency and spent a bunch of money on veteran Tre'Mond Williams. So I think Ray Farmer might have felt a little burned by his first two first-round picks last year and went safe this year.
Scott, on a sidebar issue, you mentioned quarterbacks. Do you think Tennessee really wanted Mariota? And Are you surprised that Chip Kelly, at this point, is sticking with Sam Bradford? You know more about this than I ever will, but I don't think Bradford's a good fit for his offense.
Well, we'll start with the Mariota to Tennessee. I'm not convinced that they loved him throughout the whole process. I think they tried to learn to love him. I'm sure there are people in the building that liked him and appreciated what he could do. To me, he's a clean prospect. I know there's a transition. I'm not sure he's a great fit for Ken Whisenhunt's offense, but part of the coach's job is to fit his system to his players' talents. So that's what he's going to have to do with Mariota. And, you know, I liked him better than Jameis Winston, who went number one to Tampa Bay. I think he's a solid pick. Tennessee just must not have gotten an offer they felt was compelling enough. But then you talk about Chip Kelly, and I think he really did try to go get Mariota. So the Titans must have liked him well enough not to make the move with Philadelphia. But when you talk about Sam Bradford, I've always liked him. I agree that he's not an ideal fit for Chip Kelly's scheme. But look at the guy they traded to St. Louis in the offseason. Nick Foles didn't have a whole lot of movement skills. Was a 6'6" guy, stands in the pocket. I think Bradford gives you maybe a little bit more athleticism, although coming off the two ACL injuries, he's not going to be running around like Chip's Oregon quarterbacks did. But I like Bradford. You know, he's back. He's paired with former Browns coach Pat Shurmur, who was his coordinator in St. Louis. And I know both of them are happy about the reunion. So I think Philly's going to be able to win with Sam Bradford as their quarterback.
We're talking with Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram, Browns draft day one. What are we expecting for day two and take it, you know, through part of this weekend? What kind of thoughts do you have about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I think pass rusher, to me, was one of their pressing needs heading into the draft. I think you need to pair a guy with Paul Kruger. I don't trust Barkevious Mingo to be a dominant pass rusher after seeing him for 2 years. So I'd like to see him go pass rusher early tonight. And there's guys left. Eli Harold from Virginia is a guy that if he's still around at number 43, I think the Browns could jump on. Receiver, you know, Ray Farmer, I don't think he's going to take – I didn't think he was going to take one in the first round, but now he can take one in the second, third, fourth round. I think you need to add at least one receiver, even though Ray hasn't drafted one yet in a year plus. And then quarterback, you know, you always got to talk about quarterback. I think Garrett Grayson, if he's still there in the third round, I think the Browns are the 77th pick. I think he's a guy that you could add to the mix because you can't be happy with just Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel. I'd like to add at least one more guy to the mix, and that would be the guy that I would add.
Scott, looking at last night's picks, anyone there that was a really surprise to you?
Overall in the NFL?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? The first one that jumped out at me was at number 5. Washington took Brandon Scherff. He's an offensive lineman from Iowa. A lot of, you know, the scouts and the draft analysts see him more as a guard in the NFL, and I just think that number 5 is way too high to draft a guard. He might be the best guard in the league. That's just high. I think there's certain positions you address that high in the draft, quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, defensive lineman, maybe receiver, and guard isn't it. So that was the first pick that I thought was out of whack.
How about the rest of the friends in the AFC North? Can we look? Because sometimes you're focusing on what's happening with the Browns, and meanwhile the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Ravens are picking up people too along the way.
Well, sure. I mean, it always seems like, especially the Steelers and the Ravens, wind up with guys that the Browns were connected to and had interest in. And it was the same this year. The Steelers get Bud Dupree, a Kentucky pass rusher, who I liked a lot. I know there's some people that didn't think he had the production that he should have in college, but he's 270, runs a crazy 40. I think he ran a 4.56 40-yard dash at the combine. I liked him a lot. I thought the Browns could have taken him there at 12, and I would have been happy with that pick. So I think the Steelers addressed a position of need. And then the Ravens went with Breshad Perryman, a receiver from Central Florida. You got questions about his hands, but the guy flies. He ran a 4.25 at the combine, I think. So he fills the hole that was created when Torrey Smith, a burner they had at receiver, left in free agency. So I think both addressed needs. Both had good picks. Now, they could both turn into busts, but I like both those picks.
Well, a lot of times they're fine-tuning all the time, so they have a little bit of more of a leeway, when a lot of times with the Browns, we're trying to fill a hole, and if it doesn't meet our expectations,
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, especially if you have the quarterback answered, which they both do with Flacco and Roethlisberger, you can kind of pick and choose and go, okay, we'll take a flyer on this guy. And that's what Pittsburgh and Baltimore are able to do, and Cincinnati, who has a very deep roster. So it's why the Browns are always playing catch-up.
Yeah. Well, they're going to get some more picks, and you'll be covering it, putting the Chronicle Telegram. Scott Petrick, our guest this morning, thanks for joining us this morning, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.